flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
If it's going to take us getting there by beating the Chiefs, then the Bills are going to say that's the way it should be. It will be sweeter, obviously, if you get it done, but it's a different Bills team.
I think this Bills team can win in a multitude of ways, and I think it's what makes them the most dangerous matchup for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mike Danger.
The majority of the country wants Buffalo to win this game. We have everybody on our side. This is a better opportunity than it was 4 years ago. This is it, man. This is Josh Allen playing the best football of his career. This is Sean McDermott doing the best coaching job of his career. This is when you go into Kansas City and you beat the Chiefs.
Gene Battaglia.
It's Chiefs week.
Chiefs.
Yep. It's here. Yep. This is what we asked for. Here it comes. I look at a team that is very well coached and they know how to manage games. And they have the best coach in the game today. We're on to the Chiefs.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan. Rochester.
And just before it slips my mind, McDermott there in your sports update talking about the team's success on fourth down this season. The four remaining teams, I don't think it's coincidence, four remaining teams, four best teams on fourth down in the NFL this season. Knowing when to take the risk and then converting on that fourth down risk.
Which is interesting because for the Bills, hey, it's fourth and one. Guess what? You're getting Josh Allen. Kansas City doesn't do that. They're not going to use Patrick Mahomes in that sort of play.
They just know they're going to dial something up, and whatever it is that they dial up, it's likely going to work. We welcome you back into the Sports Bar. It's Danger and Battaglia. We'll talk more Bills and Chiefs as we welcome in Michael F. Florio from NFL Network before we get to happy hour at 5 o'clock. And we also will spend some time with Amherst head coach Mike Leone here right around 20 minutes from now or so, with the team making a trip through New England this upcoming weekend. We'll give you a little preview of the action you'll be able to hear on your proud home of Rochester Americans Hockey, The Fan Rochester.
So there is this story today that the tight end, Mark Andrews of the Baltimore Ravens, is receiving death threats.
Ugh.
You know, I just like to think that these are just people who should be charged with a crime, by the way. Like online, there's nothing.
Has Bills Mafia stepped up to donate to Mark Andrews' cause?
Okay. Yeah, they have. So, like, look, following this loss, you have to feel bad for the guy, right? Sunday night, Mark Andrews did not talk to reporters. Okay, understandable. But then on Monday, locker cleanout day, and you've had a time to, you know, digest this. Andrews again did not make himself available to the media. I know what you're thinking, Danger. Perhaps you're thinking, ah, that's a Francesa. Who cares if he talks to reporters or not? But sooner or later, if you want to play in this league, you are going to have to talk about what happened. There is going to be a next season in Baltimore, believe it or not. Maybe it's not a bad idea for Mark Andrews to get some professional help here. Go talk to someone.
You know what? I just imagine that it's going to take him a little bit of time, that he's just devastated, that he's just dealing with something that he's never had to deal with before in his career, letting down his team. And ultimately, did he really let down his team? Yeah, he didn't catch the ball. It came down to that one play for them to a chance to tie it, the fumble. The fumble, I don't blame him. I think any tight end in the NFL running the ball that has that happen to them by Terrell Bernard is fumbling that football.
It's a magnificent play by Bernard.
Right.
The two-point conversion, come on.
You got to catch it,
yeah.
Yes. But even then, it's a tie game with a minute and a half to go, and you're probably, you know, Josh Allen's probably... Yeah. He could beat himself up over it because he could feel like he let his team down. I get all of that. Maybe that takes a little bit of time. The thing that'll be interesting is, do they keep him? Do the Ravens keep him? Do they view him now as toxic? Is he somebody that, you know, they're saying all the right things. Lamar is going to say all the right things to the media. Like, we don't fault him. You know, we all needed to be better. He's been coached up and he knows what to say in those situations. But behind closed doors, is it more than that? Is it no, we need to look for a way to move on.
Well, Nestor Cortez didn't pitch for how many weeks and they put him in a situation and he gives up the grand slam to Freddie Freeman and okay, you know what? You're out of here. Yeah. We're gonna send you to Milwaukee.
It happens.
Yeah, it happens. I just wish the best for Mark Andrews and then he kind of moves on. And for anybody that's doing that,
I think I think that's ridiculous. If you're a fan who does that, check yourself. Really, you're the one that needs to seek help. That's sad. And I think Andrews is still a really good player. I think he's still a really, really good tight end in this league, and he's been a great playmaker for them for the entirety of Lamar's career. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's back next year and that this is just a setback, something he's going to have to deal with, a memory that he's going to have to kind of erase, and hopefully has a short memory and can be a contributor in the NFL. The NFL's better with Mark Andrews in it. I hope he can be the kind of contributor that we've seen him throughout the course of his career as soon as next fall. The moment the Chiefs advanced to the AFC Championship game, you started to hear the nauseating chatter of the refs being in bed with Kansas City. I have a friend who's a Chiefs fan who, you know, I'm not a Chiefs guy, okay? You know I'm not a Chiefs guy. But hearing all of this, it just sounds, if you're a Kansas City fan, you've got to be disgusted by it. I'm an NFL fan, and I'm disgusted by it. Can we just stop with the NFL being scripted? Like, the NFL doesn't want the most valuable franchise in all of professional sports in the Super Bowl, or a team from LA or New York teams, or the team from Chicago in the Super Bowl. Not only is blaming the refs for the Chiefs' dominance a lazy take draped in massive loser energy, I have news for you. It's not even accurate. Gino, in the past 2 years, Kansas City opponents have been flagged 48 times in the fourth quarter and overtime of one score games. Do you want to take a stab at how many times Kansas City has been flagged?
48 times.
47.
Oh.
The refs don't favor the Chiefs. We're all fatigued. We have Chiefs fatigue. We all buy into this false narrative that every call goes their way. Now, was Mahomes' flop on the sideline against Houston last weekend gross? Sure was. And you know who else works over the refs to get calls for his team? Josh Allen. He does it almost every game. So much so that refs have to actually go talk to him on the sideline and tell him to knock it off. We can be critical of officiating in every game. They're going to blow calls. They do it all the time. But what the Chiefs do better than any other team is they take advantage of those penalties. They're well coached. Mahomes remains a cold-blooded killer. Before you blame the refs for an unfavorable outcome from the game, recognize that if your team played better, it wouldn't come down to one bad call. Now, yesterday you told me who the ref with this game is going to be.
Yeah.
And it makes my blood boil. He's like, I think we were talking about this with Catalana. Like, which there's every sports fan has an official that makes your blood boil. Like, if you're a baseball fan, Angel Hernandez, you hear it, it's like, oh, that's Blakeman for me.
It was Kerry Frazier for me in the NHL.
You remember him, right? Everybody remembers how bad you hate that official. Now, Cleet Blakeman gets the AFC title game duties between the Chiefs and the Bills. The Chiefs are 10-7 all time with Blakeman. The Bills are 10-6. Home teams finished an NFL worst 5-11 with Blakeman this season. He also assessed a league high 134 penalties against home teams, for what that's worth.
Danger, there is an exhibit here in your argument that you're not presenting. Like, a call that some crews would not make actually gave the Bills a win. Not give, it was the correct call. Kadarius Toney lining up offside.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that went against the Chiefs.
Every Bills fan that wants to say that, like, you don't have to look that far to know that what anybody that says that the game is rigged or that the Chiefs have the refs in their pocket, stop. It's not true. It's a false narrative. We all have Chiefs fatigue. The whole country outside of Missouri is rooting for the Bills this weekend.
I was so disappointed to see Caitlin Clark up in the box. I'm like, no, Caitlin, no. Don't join.
Oh, who cares?
I guess you're up. No, I don't want.
It's a giant Francesa.
No, who cares?
Danger, just want them to go away.
I don't care.
Like, if the if the Bills lost that game to the Ravens, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, do I really want to subject myself to an AFC championship game, Kansas City and Baltimore once again, maybe when the week rolls around? Do we really want to subject ourselves to another Super Bowl with Kansas City? And for
No, we have a very important job to do on Sunday. I'm saying we, like I'm a part of the team. The Bills have a very important job. It has to stop. And it can stop. It can stop with a win on Sunday.
Oh, who cares?
Yeah. When I saw that, I'm like, okay, well, there's America's sweetheart with America's sweetheart. Can we get any more sweet than what we have in that box right now at Arrowhead?
Listen, Travis, just go propose, retire, be on with your life.
I mean,
on with your life.
He's done after this year, right? We all kind of recognize that. He doesn't have to keep getting his face kicked in every single week in the NFL to be a success moving forward. He's set up.
Is he getting a network deal right away? Like, what does this look like?
Whatever he wants, he's
getting.
Well,
I look at Jason, and it's been like, okay, it's kind of on the fringe, right? He's not getting one of those main gigs.
Nah, they're doing fine. But the podcast and everything that they got going on, all the endorsement deals and I feel like I can't turn the TV on without seeing a Kelce brother. They're both just fine. And I think the one more year was almost like, oh, sure, why not? Why not play one more year? But, you know, the way he came into the season, kind of out of shape, right? Like after living his best life with the most popular and famous woman in the world all summer, you have a feeling that maybe he wants to do more of that moving forward and less of getting his face kicked in by other teams. That's just my opinion. We'll see. We have a very important job on Sunday, the Buffalo Bills. They can end it all. They can end it. They can end the season for the Chiefs. Oh, they can't get here soon enough.
Ooh. Oh, my God. That would be so. Are we allowed to daydream about it? Sure.
Yes, we are.
One non-sports take today, Danger.
Let's hear it.
This was like a lot yesterday. A lot going on in the world, as you know. What would be your one executive order? I'm the man in charge, and this is what I'm going to change. Here is my executive order, right? One universal phone charger. Moving forward, every adapter is the same because mine always seems to get scarfed. My daughter's scooting away to college, taking the cord, or maybe it goes up to her room, or whatever it is, and I have a charger that doesn't fit. It's annoying. Why do they do this? I know that's not an executive order, but maybe somebody in Congress can present that as a bill.
So just one, you're saying regardless of brand, Apple, Samsung, doesn't matter, one universal charger.
That's it.
Yeah, because right now, am I wrong in believing that new iPhones have a different charger than older iPhones? Like, I think my charger wouldn't work with a new iPhone.
The 16 does not compatible. Right. Like, it seems like, okay, you need to buy this product as well.
Right. Well, that's what you're suggesting. What you're suggesting is that Apple and everybody all the tech giants that were at the inauguration yesterday, that they would have to be forced to take a hit on their bottom line by making something that actually helps the American people? I mean, I'm with you. Feels like a long shot. Can I give you mine? It's a small thing. I've talked about it before. It's a small thing, but it, you know, I say often.
Well, can I take a guess? Put the shopping cart back.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you. Yes.
Really?
That's it.
I guessed it.
You did guess it because I say it all the time. If you're too small, if you're too big to do the small things, then you're too small to do the big things. And it's such a small thing. And when I see it, it drives me crazy. And I know I'm not alone. I've talked about this before. Put your shopping cart back in the corral. And bonus points. I'm not even going to get picky. Bonus points if you actually put them, the small ones on one side and the large ones on the other side. You put it in the one where it belongs. Like even more points for you.
No, you know what you do? You're parking and, hey, I'm going to need a shopping cart. Get one yourself out of the corral. Lighten the load for the kid that's got to
I would absolutely do that. Yeah. Except every time I go by a corral, it's like a maze of twisted metal and it's disorderly. So much so that I can't even park next to it, Gino. The sight of it makes me angry. I get angry because I think about all of the people that just haphazardly just throw it in the middle of the parking lot or haphazardly throw it in the corral, even though there's a sign that says small carts on this side, large carts on this side. We can't comply. That it drives me nuts. I know it's a crazy little quirky, it's my one thing. I literally will not park. I have to park far away and not make eye contact with the corral as I'm walking into the store because if I see it, I will get angry.
Have you ever been diagnosed with OCD?
I don't have OCD. As far as I know, no. I don't have OCD.
No.
I'm not Zane Gonzalez.
A lot of people in our business do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not saying I'm not crazy. I recognize I probably have some disorders. I don't think OCD is one of them, though.
Zane Gonzalez kicking his team to a victory.
That's
the other
right.
Night.
That's right. How do you not love that? How do you not root for that guy? That would be my thing. You know, just small thing. Not a big deal. Not a big sweeping change. Just a small thing to get us all kind of making better choices throughout the course of our day. That's it. Sorry she took your charger, buddy. Do you let your phone die down? How are you managing through
that? Oh, no. I had have another one. It's just the cord that goes into... So I had to go get it from my car. So I had a backup plan.
Yeah. There's also something, I think, to be said for letting the battery drain all the way, like not charging your phone. I know that we are so attached to our phones, we can't let that happen. Mm-hmm. But, like, there is something freeing. It's like the Seinfeld episode where Kramer drives on the empty tank and tries to see how far he can take the car on the empty tank, and he gets a rush. It's exhilarating to see if they can keep driving the car without filling up and seeing how empty they can get the tank, driving after the thing says zero miles left in your range.
Can't really do that anymore. Your new cars will tell you, like, exactly how many miles.
Right? Yeah, right. But even I'll do it. I'll push it. It'll say zero, range zero, and I'll still be driving them. Like,
oh,
yeah.
Heck no. Maybe it's OCD with me. When it gets to a quarter, nope, I'm filling up.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm filling up.
There you go. I think the same thing with your phone. If you let it die down to 1%, I know everybody feels anxiety when their phone gets under 10% or 5%.
Oh, as soon as it goes red, like you're under 20.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Take a deep breath and maybe let that bad boy die a battery. Let the battery just die out and charge it when you need to charge it. I kind of like that idea, too. I think that's a move. Sorry. Daughter took my charger. Phone died. I think it'll play. People have to believe it because it happens so infrequently now. What? How could you let your phone? Sorry. Just happened. Phone died. We got to get to Mike Leone, Rochester Americans head coach. He's going to stop by the sports bar here in a couple few. Big weekend ahead. A trip through New England for the Amerks, and we'll recap the weekend that was. A couple of games against Lehigh Valley, also Hershey on Sunday. Mike Leone, Rochester Americans head coach, our guest next on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
The Fan Rochester. Sports update.
Betting line moving for the AFC Championship game was at Kansas City, favored by 1.5. It's now Kansas City by 2. Head coach Sean McDermott, even though it's a championship game, wants to make this week like any other.
You know, I think at the end of the day, it's normal routine, normal approach. Make sure we're prepared during the week to do our jobs and do them at a high level.
2 p.m. for our pregame coverage this Sunday here on The Fan Rochester. We'll talk some Bills. Michael F. Florio, NFL Network, joining us later this hour. Late night with the Buffalo Sabres tonight. They're in Vancouver, 10 p.m. for our coverage. Buffalo falling in Seattle yesterday. The Rochester Americans, they're on the road this weekend. We'll talk to head coach Michael Leone coming up next. The L.A. Dodgers keep spending money. Today, adding reliever Kirby Yates. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Coach, we know you're a Michigan guy. We know you're a Detroit fan. They're coming off the bye. How big are they winning by come this weekend?
I think they blow them out, to be honest with you.
Oh, no.
Freezing takes exposed in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia.
The coach, she's probably down about the
well,
team.
Well, let's check in. Mike Leone, Rochester Americans head coach. Lions guy. Hey. You lose your offensive coordinator, you lose the game. Uh-oh. I'm in trouble now.
Hey, that's why I'm a hockey coach, not a football coach. That's why I don't get paid to coach football, so I could have this crazy pitch that I could be wrong.
Well, I mean, I know that you had a game Saturday night, and you're not. I mean, I don't know. Were they announcing the score there in the arena? How do you just kind of? I've got a job to do, and maybe I'll find out after. And then I could only picture you going in the locker room after the game. Oh crap! What's going on here?
Yeah, my wife was texting me like updates, like play by play. And she just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. But, yeah, you just in football, you can't turn the ball over five times. And I like the trick plays, but some of them I just have to – it's third and one, and they're running a – I don't know. It's always easy to play Monday morning quarterback now. But, yeah, it just wasn't good. It was the worst time to not show up for a football game. And Washington was great, well-coached team, really good quarterback, poised, and they were better.
It's so funny. I mean, you can make the parallels in any sport, really, that when you're in the heat of that level of competition and there's a lot riding on the game, you mentioned the turnovers. Like, mistakes are magnified, and I think that's universal, is it not? I mean, when you talk about games in the postseason or games where, you know, a playoff berth is on the line or you're trying to retain, you know, first place in the division, every mistake is under a microscope and magnified 50-100 times over. The Lions outgained the Commanders by a wide margin, and it didn't matter.
No, it's you bring up a really good point. I think it's just in hockey, it's you when you watch, especially now we're getting to the back half of the season, and the margin for error, usually the game comes down to turnovers, and the team that usually does the right thing more often than not in the game, and it's a battle of wills, and if you do that, you have a really good chance to come out on the right side of it. And just if you look at even the Ravens, you know, that's going to the Buffalo game, the two huge turnovers, and the Lions game was you have that many turnovers and you just keep your defense on the field and you just, it's costly. I mean, five turnovers in a game, you pretty much have no chance to win.
Mike Leone, I'm sorry, Coach, head coach of Rochester Americans, our guest here. Coach, three games, 3 days. This used to be the norm in the American Hockey League. Thankfully, they've kind of gotten away from that, but that's rough. So getting the 3 of the 6 points, how big picture overall do you look at this past weekend?
Yeah, you know what? If you look at the weekend, just the way we played, it's some of the probably best hockey we played, honestly. Like we were, you know, I thought we won in overtime the first night. I thought the goal went in. They said it didn't go in, and we had a really good road win. And then if you look at the Hershey game, you know, for them to not play the night before and for us to get off to the start we did, you know, I think we outshot them 12-4 in the first period. You know, a couple mistakes. But overall, for the weekend, we were really happy with our group. And not so much, you know, when you take the emotion out of it, when you just look at how hard our group competed that game against arguably a top three team in the league, we were really, really happy. You know, we were down 5-3, and we could have easily scored in the 6-on-5. You know, we probably had 5 or 6 really good looks, and the guys pushed at the end. And, you know, probably wish we would have got 4 out of 6, but anytime you go 1-1-1 in a weekend like that, you're going to take it. And we accumulated points, and we're still in the spot where we want to be. So overall, it was a really, really great weekend from our group. And the way we played, especially in that last night, it's a long travel, tough weekend. Like I said, they didn't play, but our group played really well.
Mike, take us back to Friday night. You mentioned it. I mean, it was a game that you thought that we won. We ended up not winning. Some things can be reviewed, apparently. Some things cannot be reviewed. And reports are that this was the most steam that a lot of fans have seen you behind the bench with the Rochester Americans. What did you learn? What came out of that? What exactly transpired on Friday night?
Yeah, I understand. It's so hard to believe that we're in the league that we play in, that there's no review on some of these calls. It's just hard to understand, but the call on the ice, Rosie got a breakaway. You know, when the puck clearly goes in the net, the goalie's going back, Rosie's momentum's going forward, but it had no direct influence on the puck went in the net. The ref was behind the net. He called a goal. So unless you go to the review, which is there's no review, the guys on the ice, you have to, if it's inconclusive, it's a goal. But then they came back and then they said it was, no, they had no goal on the ice, but he clearly pointed a goal. He was behind the net. And then after the game, the linesman said, it was goaltender interference. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, you can go to review for goaltender interference, but it was strange. It was hard to wrap your mind around it, but some things don't go your way, and we got a point out of it, so that was good.
Yeah, you have a roster move today, and he's been up there before, Tyson Kozak. But, I mean, I love a guy that was drafted in the 7th round, getting a little taste once again. And who knows how long his stay is going to be up there, Coach, going out to the West Coast. But what has he meant to the Amerks so far, and what do you think he can do back up with Buffalo?
Yeah, no, it's a great story. Tyson is, a 7th round draft pick. Battled some injuries last year, but he's been, we're a different team when he's in the lineup. He's physical. He plays to an identity. He plays the game the right way. It's hard to find where he makes mistakes in the game. He's done a really good job up there, winning faceoffs, and he's got a little time on the kill, but great story of, hard work and perseverance and, the things behind the scenes that, he practices extremely hard. And, it's a great example of, he's a coachable kid. He's dependable. He's low maintenance in a world where there's a lot going on. And it's usually about me, and he's all about the team. And he's been a great story, and a really happy for him.
Second weekend in a row where the Amerks are facing Atlantic Division opponents. Providence, the opponent on Friday night. Saturday, it'll be Hartford. What do you know about the two teams you're going to face off against this weekend on the coast, Coach?
Yeah. Providence is one of the, top teams in the league. They do a great job year in, year out. They're a veteran group. They defend really hard. Two excellent goalies. If you look at DiPietro and Bussey, that's probably arguably one of the best tandems in the league, and it'll be a really good test for us on the road. They're you look at the teams they've played in our division, and they're a really good team. They're structured, they're organized, they play the right way, and they defend really well. And then Hartford is a team that, they just went to Charlotte and swept at Charlotte, and Charlotte is arguably the best team we played all year. So it's a really good test for the group and a big weekend for us.
Coach, we've kind of touched on this before, but just the success that your team has had on the road. Now, you don't get the one in Hershey, but you bounce back here. Is there any one or two reasons that you can point to as to why the Amerks have just been so stout on the road this season?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. It was funny. We were looking at Hershey Bears. They're the same way. I think they're 10-10 at home, and I think they're right around where we are on the road. I don't know. We've been really good on the road. Like, we've managed. I think it says a lot about our group. I could tell you that we just go in at, rinks that are hard to play against. Just Lehigh Valley was a tough place, Laval, Syracuse. And guys have handled those situations really well, a lot of tough environments to play in. And I think we've got off to really good starts in those games. So I think when you're on the road, if you're chasing the game, it could be really difficult, but we've been able to get off to really good starts and kind of overwhelm teams at times with their puck pressure and the way we possess the puck and just our ability to, you know, when we're up in those games on the road to finish games out, I think is really important. And we've come a long way from the start of the year of understanding there are certain times in the game where you really got to lock it down that are different than others. And our group has done a great job of that.
Coach, what about you? I mean, we talk to fans all the time, and they know that we have the chance and the opportunity to talk to you on a weekly basis. And it's your first year coaching this team. It's your first team in the AHL. You're saying a lot of great things about your guys in that locker room. How have you adjusted here through the course of the first, you know, half of the season, half plus of the season now as we move into February next month?
Yeah, you know, for me, it's been, I credit our staff a lot. They've made an easy transition. I've never coached pro hockey, and the amount of games and the travel. And Vinny obviously played in the NHL a long time, and Pacers obviously played in the NHL. Coached first season of pro hockey, so they've been fantastic for me, and I give them a lot. You know, they're presenting in front of the team a lot in between periods sometimes, and it's. For me, it's been great. I think the biggest thing is the things that I've always believed in and been fortunate to be around a lot of great coaches of what is really important and one wins you hockey games is it's kind of been magnified and just on my belief system of what wins. And it's kind of gave me a lot of confidence into, you know, coaching the team. And I feel head coaching career, I feel like I'm the most comfortable now in pro hockey, and I feel I'm where I'm supposed to be, and I love it. I love coming to the rink every day. I love our group, and it's every day I wake up and I'm the happiest guy in the world because I get to do what I love and be around great people.
Are you an early riser, or are you somebody big time? Okay, so how do you deal big with time. Tonight? Because hey,
well, I'll probably watch the whole game.
You will, okay?
Yeah, for sure. I probably get it from my mom. Not a big sleeper. I probably need only 4, maybe 5 hours, and I'm good. So I'm an early person. I'm an early riser.
That's a different level of discipline. That Mike. Is. Yeah. I mean, I'm telling Gino off the air at 10:30. I'm out. There's no way I can.
Yeah,
do 10.
What would you say to Danger? Like tonight, like we got a request because everybody wants to talk Bills with us. One of the two of you guys, can you go on the network with us? And Danger's like,
tapped out. 10, I'll be asleep.
20, oh, I'm going to be asleep.
I'll be out. Wait,
yeah, can I? Yeah,
isn't,
come on.
If I'm not mistaken, isn't McDermott like a crazy like 4:30 guy? Like,
yeah, but yeah, I bet you he's going to bed at like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night.
No. No, he's like Coach Leone. He's like somebody who is like grinding the tape, and then he's hitting the gym at like 4 in the morning. That's
yeah. I'm
psycho.
A big. I watch a lot of like just tons of games. It's been kind of a strange month for us because we're just playing on the weekend this month until next week. So I watch AHL games, NHL games, like tons of games. I'm on my computer, so I'm kind of a junkie when it comes to that, so I'll definitely watch the game tonight.
All right, well, now I feel bad. Now I got to start getting up at 4 a.m. Maybe I'll do a cold plunge early.
No, yeah. I always tell people, hey, it's not, I'm not one of those, like, I'm, you know, I'm not, I just, I'm just like that. I just, everybody's different, and it's not one of those things where I'm, you know, I'm out working, so I just like it. It's just who I am, and it's part of my DNA, and some people aren't more like my wife, for instance. She can sleep all day. We're complete opposites. So, it's whatever works best for everybody.
Mike, it's great having you on with us. Best of luck this weekend. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you again next week, same time.
Yeah, it's always great, guys. Have a good one.
You got it,
Coach. Go Bill.
Go Bill.
All right,
Mike
there
Leone,
we go. Yeah.
On board. Emmerich's head coach joining us here in the Sports Bar Providence on Friday night, 6 o'clock Saturday night for Hartford, both games right here on your home for Rochester Americans Hockey, the Fan Rochester.
5 hours? I got 5 hours yesterday, and I was like, oh,
I can do 5 hours. I don't like to make a habit of doing 5 hours. I can even do 4 hours. I don't like to make a habit of doing 4 hours. I can tell it's affecting my performance at my advanced stage now, Gino. But yeah, for me, it's the discipline of getting up. Like, that's my problem. I can't. That alarm goes off at 4:30, 5 a.m. I know there are a lot of people. I mean, I'll leave early some mornings, and I'll see people going for their dad run, you know, under the cloak of darkness at 5 a.m. I'm like, God bless you. Like, I'm still struggling at 5 a.m. But Leone's one of those guys. He's a night owl. He's a junkie when it comes to watching these games. I kind of like that. I'm the same way when it comes. If there's action on and I've got an interest, I'm in. And I'll be dialed in. Last night was fun. I mean, we didn't even talk about the national championship game. That was... Oh, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Ohio State gets the first ever college football playoff championship.
Oh, okay. The way the game started off, I'm like, very good.
And interesting.
Then, yeah. 2 touchdowns in 6 minutes. Okay.
More, yeah, a little bit of a gap in talent there between the two programs, but you got to give Notre Dame credit for at least trying to make it close there in the end. We'll get to Michael F. Florio. We'll talk some more Bills and Chiefs next on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Bills fans, Odyssey is your home for football. Stay up to date on everything Bills, no matter where you are, with the Odyssey app and the sports leader, The Fan Rochester.
We're not superstitious. No, you're superstitious. Michael F. Florio, you know, fantasy football season's been done for a while, but we love having Michael F. Florio from NFL Network on just to talk Bills during the postseason here, Mike. And we get the chance to do it again. Looking forward to the AFC Championship game coming up here on Sunday from Arrowhead. Welcome back into the Sports Bar. And I know that it's kind of a moot point because the votes have already been cast, but you said something and you were mentioning something that was very interesting on X earlier today about the differences between Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Simply put, the Bills' defensive game plan was to allow Lamar Jackson to fall on his face. You're not going to see Josh Allen do that this season with the way he's been playing.
Not only are you not going to see Josh Allen do that, I would love to speak, like, give every defensive coordinator who has played the Bills this year some truth serum and be like, who is option 1, 2, and 3 that give you nightmares that you have to stay up at night thinking about stopping? Because I love James Cook. He is awesome. Ty Johnson, Ray Davis, they're all great. No defensive coordinator starts their game planning for the Buffalo Bills saying, we need to take these running backs out of the equation. It's all about Allen. In fact, what I've been seeing more lately is teams trying to cut off his running lanes, not let him beat them with their legs as much. As great as Lamar is, and the article was by Tyler Dune, Sean McDermott and the Bills players were very vocal that we wanted Derrick Henry to take him away and make Lamar beat us. It's the same thing that the Steelers defensive coordinator, and remember, that Steelers defense is the one that has given Lamar the most trouble throughout the years. He said the same thing. It's Derrick Henry is priority one, Lamar is two. So my argument is, how are you the MVP of the NFL? I know the stats are amazing, but how are you the MVP if you are the number two concern in the biggest game of the year while teams are game planning against your offense?
From that game, Michael, gosh, I feel for Mark Andrews. But my gosh, when you're doing your evaluations for fantasy next season, we have yet to hear him talk. He refused to talk to reporters after the game. Locker cleanout not available. But I'm just wondering where the future kind of goes for Mark Andrews in Baltimore.
As long as a whole lot doesn't change this year, like if Andrews is back, and I would expect that he is, he's their all-time leading receiving touchdown guy. He's been there with Lamar since day one. They were drafted in the same class. So I think everything that he means for Lamar, for the organization, the players, and I love this, they all had his back. Yeah. And they were like, yeah, it's not just on him, even Lamar. And I've been arguing on Twitter that I think Mark Andrews is a scapegoat right now. I'm not saying he is not part of the reason why they lost. He had an awful fourth quarter, turned the ball over twice, once, dropped the 2-point conversion. But Lamar Jackson had two turnovers in the first half. He had the biggest negative EPA play of the day with that fumble. After that fumble that gave the Bills a touchdown lead, the Ravens never tied the game. They never led anything. They were in a hole that Lamar put them in. So as phenomenal as Lamar played in the second half, and trust me, just like I'm sure you guys were, I was very nervous watching him do his thing in the second half. But his fingerprints are just as much on this loss. So are the defenses. The best run defense in the league couldn't stop the run for the entire first half. Like, it's a total team effort. And, yeah, it's awful the timing of when it happened to Mark Andrews. But it's not like they played a perfect game, everyone else besides him. So no team has won a playoff game this year while losing the turnover battle. Lamar had two turnovers. His fingerprints are just as much on it as Mark Andrews.
All right, so one of our listeners points this out as we look ahead of the AFC Championship here, the comparison between the Bills and the Chiefs to the Bulls and the Pistons from back in the day. This is from our buddy Cruiser on X. Bulls lost three straight years to Detroit from 88 to 1990 in the playoffs before they broke through in 91, the conference finals. Also the fourth playoff matchup here between the Bills and the Chiefs. It does feel different this year, F.
Yeah, I agree. And it's funny that you bring up this comparison with Michael Jordan and the Bulls, because I brought up this same exact comparison on my podcast, Orioles Football Show, earlier this morning, saying that it feels like for the Bills to win a championship, they have to go through Kansas City. And I had a lot of people asking me, are you rooting for the Texans? If the Bills lose, do you want to see the Ravens win? And my answer every single time was no. If the Bills are not the team to beat the Chiefs, I want to see the Chiefs win again. Because it only feels right that if anyone is to end this dynasty, end this three-peat, it is the team that has been so close so many times. And it's like LeBron having to get through like the Pistons early in his career as well. Funny, it's the Pistons. But like, there's a lot of these sports things where, like, to get to the top of the mountain, there's always that one team you need to beat. And, look, I know we would all accept the easier matchup. I think it would be a lot. There'd be feelings of, like, we wanted the Chiefs if the Texans pulled off the upset last week. And I do agree with you. I think it feels different this go-around. The Bills have a better rushing attack than ever. The Bills are more physical than ever. Josh Allen is playing the cleanest football a quarterback has played in NFL history when it comes to protecting the ball and negative plays. But besides all of that, I'm looking at the defense here. In three losses against the Chiefs, they have never, in the playoffs, they have never sacked Patrick Mahomes. They have never made him force a turnover. This past week was the second, the Bills had more pressure on Lamar than any team besides the Steelers this season. They had a lot of pressure 2 weeks ago against the Broncos. Their defense just looks different in the playoffs this year. I think they're pissed off. I think they're tired of being disrespected. And also, I think they're tired of hearing that they are the reason the Bills don't have a Super Bowl right now and the Bills keep coming up short. I think this defense is different than it has been in years past. And in the last four regular season games, the Bills have averaged 28 points per game against the Chiefs. In their three playoff losses, the Bills have averaged 28 points per game against the Chiefs, the exact same number. The difference, the defense in the regular season has held them to an average of less than 20 points per game, and in the playoffs, the Chiefs are averaging nearly 36 points per game against the Bills' defense. So that is the unit that has to step up. I trust Josh Allen. I trust this offense. If the defense could do their thing, I'm not going to get it too ahead of myself, but I like their chances.
Well, for the defense to do their thing, and you watched, Chiefs Texans, and well, I don't know, because it was freezing cold in Kansas City, or maybe the Texans have two really good corners. I just found it interesting that Patrick Mahomes, other than Worthy, didn't throw to a wide receiver in that game. So was that just game plan specific, or could we see more? And there is a concern this week that, and we're not going to know till later in the week if that, about Christian Benford going through the concussion protocol. So the idea that, all right, what you see out of the Kansas City receivers, was that just kind of a one-week thing going against the Texans, or might Kansas City actually just kind of just run the ball and throw to their tight ends and not too much else there?
I expect them to throw more to their wide receivers in this one. Xavier Worthy had a big game against the Bills earlier this year, and He's very fast, and we know that speed is one thing that has hurt this secondary in the past. It depends on the health of Marquise Brown, how utilized he could be. And to me, it depends on the game script. Like, they were ahead most of that game last week, so they didn't have to throw a bunch. If the Bills jump out to an early lead, a lot like against the Ravens, they could force them to run the ball, to throw the ball a little bit more. But what I'm feeling good about is they just shut down the best rushing attack in the NFL. They stopped Derrick Henry, who has been a thorn in their side his entire career. Like, no offense to Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco, it is a huge downgrade for the running back that they are facing this week. So if they could contain the run again, they will naturally force the Chiefs to have to pass more. But if Benford plays, I'll take the chances with the secondary. They have been playing great. They've been making life really tough on opposing passing games. And look, just don't panic if the Chiefs score on the opening drive.
Right.
That seems to be the trend right now.
Mike, what about that backfield of Kansas City? Because you and I, before the season started, and we were talking about fantasy football, we were both enamored. We were both on Team Pacheco. We're like, we need this guy. I want this guy on my roster. That guy is going to, you know, he's going to be a league winner for us. And, you know, the injury certainly derails our plans there. To my eyes, hasn't looked like the same Isaiah Pacheco in coming back from that injury in the middle of the season.
Same for me, and the stats back it up as well. He doesn't have the same burst. He doesn't have that quick explosiveness and the big play ability, and we know that is something that he has in his game. So I'm expecting to see that back next year. This is something that I think sometimes gets overlooked. When a player comes back from injury, the thought is like, okay, the player's back, he's back to himself. And a lot of times, that is not the case, especially at the running back position, especially to lower leg injuries. It's why someone like Austin Eckler looks rejuvenated this year, but he looked like he was going to be out of the league last season because he was coming back from a severe lower leg injury. So not only is Pacheco, I don't think, that same guy, Kareem Hunt is... he's like a good 3 to 4 yards to carry kind of guy, but he doesn't have that burst either. And what the Chiefs offense is lacking that they had in past years is that pass-catching running back who can just break your back. When you have everyone else contained, he could just drop it off to the running back. Like, it was Jerick McKinnon for years. And this is the time of year where McKinnon would break out. And before that, it was Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Damian Williams, all these pass-catching running backs. They have guys like Pacheco and Hunt who can be utilized in the passing game, but they're not the receiving specialist like those old backs were, and two, they don't have the same burst. So, yeah, I think this is the most confident I have felt that the Bills match up well against the Chiefs of any of the playoff games. Now, does that matter? We'll find out on Sunday, but going into these past matchups, it was like, oh, man, there's 2-3 players that this defense has to beat, and then there's also Patrick Mahomes there. This year, even Travis Kelce, look, I think they save his best for the playoffs. They just tell him, don't get hurt, don't anything in the regular season. But he is not the Travis Kelce that he was in the 13-second game. He's not the Travis Kelce even of last season, I think. I think we're starting to see the decline of him. So he could still win. He is still an all-time great. But these weapons that the Chiefs have are lacking compared to past years.
Michael F. Florio, how many Bills jerseys do you own? And if so, you own one. Which one are you wearing this week, Mike?
I own a couple. I have some like blasts from the past. Like, I have a C.J. Spiller. I have a Fred Jackson. I still have my Steph Diggs one. But it's Josh Allen. That's who I rep every day on game day. I'm not changing it. It's worked so far. Why change it now?
That's right. We're not about superstition here in the sports bar. That's why we're talking to you every single Tuesday at the same time, just so we can talk Bills with you. And Mike, before we let you go, if we can, because I saw you put this out as well. Hey, some of us are already thinking about fantasy, you know, football again for the 2025 season. And you had a point about quarterback specifically, that if you look at the quarterback position, outside of the top five guys, there's a bit of a pack of mid. It's just not great. Tell us who the five guys are and why we maybe want to, as we look ahead to draft season, why we may want to look at making a larger investment in one of the top five guys.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And with quarterbacks, the strategy is always wait as long as you can and you'll be fine. And I kind of agree in the sense of if you're not getting one of the top five, just wait and play quarterback chicken. But I do think it's worth paying up for the top five, and those five being Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, and Jaden Daniels. Joe Burrow, they all give you top production with their legs. They're all elite passers outside of Jaden, but we see that he has that potential there. They were the top five this year, and then there was a huge fall off. I know people might be surprised not to hear Patrick Mahomes' name in there. He's the best quarterback in football, but for fantasy, he's been closer to QB10 than QB1 each of the last 2 years. So I think after a two-year down sample size, he doesn't belong in the top five. And then we were talking on our podcast today. There's guys like Jared Goff, Brock Purdy. Then there's upside guys like Caleb Williams, Dak Prescott, Anthony Richardson. And I'm like, I'll wait and I'll take two. I'll take a safe guy and I'll take an upside guy. But I don't – this is one of the first times in a while where I'm like, you know what? If I can get one – whichever one of the top five is cheapest, that's going to be my target, because I think there is a significant drop-off after that. And all the quarterbacks after those top five are, like you said, they're kind of in a big group where they're all very similar.
Michael F. Florio, NFL Network. Michael, I refuse to believe – this will be our last conversation. Let's do this again next Tuesday.
Oh, and the Tuesday after that. How about that?
Yeah. Sounds good. Mike, enjoy the rest of your week, bud, and enjoy the game on Sunday.
Likewise. Go Bills.
You got it. There's Michael F. Florio, NFL Network. What a treat to be able to talk to him. And no, we're not superstitious. Like, we got to get him back on again. And he's with us. He's like, yeah, absolutely. I'm there. Let's do it.
Talking about worthy, though. Does Andy Reid get all cute and want to win with style points?
Yes.
Meaning, let me stick it to the Bills fan base.
Yep.
And
yep. Totally expect Worthy to be a factor. Totally expecting him to be a factor.
I think that would be such a mistake. Really? Like, they're going to design a game
Do
plan?
Do you have any speed that matches up with that guy? The answer is no. If you're looking for a mismatch, there's your mismatch.
Timeout. What do we have in Cole Bishop? I don't know. That's the interesting thing. If it is going to be Bishop.
Not as fast as Worthy. Nobody is.
No, but he's Bishop, I would think, is faster than Taylor Rapp. It's a different type of player.
Yeah. But boy, man, when you look at how the defense was broken down against the Ravens, and shocking to believe that it would happen again 2 weeks in a row, but they blitzed the Ravens more than any other team this year. Mm-hmm. Over 40% of the time they were out of their base. I want to say it was 40% of the time, more than 40% of the time, they were out of their base nickel. They were running all kinds of different looks. And it kind of goes, again, to speaks to Lamar not being able to truly process what was being thrown at him. Let's make him try to beat us. If he can beat us, then they've earned it. But we're not going to let Derrick Henry beat us. We'll throw everything at Lamar and see if he can beat us. And it worked. Now, Mahomes, different cat. I don't know if you're going to be able to get away with it with Mahomes. I don't know if you're going to be that aggressive against Mahomes. Hopefully you can affect Mahomes. I want to see him close on Mahomes, because I feel like every time they play, they get to him, but they don't close. You got to close.
He's really good at that, though.
You got to close. Happy Hour is next on The Fan Rochester. And we do have time for your calls if you want to join us. That number is 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326. Yes, we set a bit of a standard yesterday. Well, we've got some more reaction to the first ever ban in sports bar history. We'll discuss that, and we'll also talk a little bit more about what we learned from Matt Perino of the Syracuse Post-Standard as we get ready for the AFC Championship game, Bills and Chiefs, coming up Sunday night on CBS. We'll get to a round of shots as well. That's all on the way here, the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950.